You believe that tonight? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. All right. Play some more of it, brother, if you will. Tonight. Aren't you glad you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. We've got a lot of feedback going on up here. I don't know where it's at or where it's coming from. Hopefully they'll get it took care of here just in a little bit. We'll just tolerate it till they get it fixed, won't we? Amen. So good to be in the house of God tonight. Glad you're here. How many of you come to have church? How many of you know that God will meet with us if we invite Him and approach Him in the right attitude? Your attitude is worth 10 million worlds toward this service tonight. How many of you want to have a good one? Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord. And we're so glad tonight. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request. But we're so glad tonight to have some folks with us that hasn't got to be here in a long time. Brother Ed Yance is back in the service with us tonight. So glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen, Brother Eddie. God bless you. And Brother Jackie Benton. God bless Brother Jackie Benton. He's back in the service with us tonight. Praise the Lord. So glad to have Brother Jackie, Brother Ed, both in the service with us tonight. Got some wonderful, special friends here in the service with us tonight. Brother and Sister Siler, they're in the service with us tonight. Raise your hand right over here. God bless you. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. That is Sister Sarah Carroll's mother and father. And well, we're just so glad to have all of you, all you home folks. You even look pretty good tonight. God bless you. We're glad to have you here. We're going to look at our prayer requests tonight. We're going to do something just a little bit different. Brother Jack Benton, he's not able to get up here and move around like he used to at this point. So we're going to take a microphone to him. He wants to greet you in the name of the Lord. And he's going to pray over our prayer requests tonight. Brother Jackie was just sharing something with me out in the lobby a few minutes ago. And I said, would you care to share that with our congregation? He said he would do it. So we're going to get a microphone over there to him just in a few minutes and let him do that. Brother Phil Priest wants us to remember his Aunt Brenda in prayer. She has a type of bone disease. Please pray for her comfort and strength while the Lord is healing her. She confesses her healing and prays for us for strength and a quick recovery. We just commit that unto the Lord. God's able tonight, isn't He? We believe that. We certainly do. Just commit her unto the Lord tonight. Brother Leo Walmsley wants us to pray for Ron Hughes. He has to have 3 stents put in and then open heart surgery and also a knee replacement. But they can't start until they clear up a very serious infection. So they're asking that we would pray over that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Christine Baker, who is having back problems. Let's pray for her need tonight. Brother Jim asked the church to pray for Brother, this was sent to the library. Brother Jim Babb, it was addressed to Brother Jim. They're just asking that we would pray for Sister Jaretta Stockton tonight. She's having flu-like symptoms. Also pray for Daniel, for he has an infection from a possible spider bite, some type of poison oak or something. So we'll just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Ask God to meet that need. Here, Brother George Hamlin has an unspoken prayer request he'd like for us to pray about tonight. So we'll just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Samuel has an unspoken prayer request tonight. We just commit that unto the Lord. But we want to give the microphone. Brother Harry, if you will cut this thing off. Cut that off just for a minute. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, would you just like for this congregation to pray about it? How many of you know we're serving a prayer answering God? How many of you could give up on Him now? You can't give up on God now. What He's done for you and where He's brought us from, we owe Him the very best that we've got. Is that right? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Jackie Benton, I want you to share that testimony that you shared with me and lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests.
I was telling Brother Louis the other night, we're talking, me and my wife, and we look forward to the services, streaming the services. I tell you, watching the clock, amen, for the service to come on. And I told my wife, I said to Sister Wilma, I said, can you imagine all the people around the world that's listening to these sermons and listening to our services? They're watching the clock, waiting for the time to come that they can stream the service.
Amen.
Amen. I know how they feel now. Amen. So my heart goes out to those that don't have the privilege, like you all do, to assemble in every church service. Amen. You're blessed. You're certainly blessed with the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take these prayer requests, amen, to the Lord tonight and believe in behalf of each one. And remember, Sister Wilma tonight, my wife, she's not doing well with arthritis in her knees and bursitis. And amen. So remember her also. Appreciate you. I love you. I've missed you. I really missed you.
Amen.
And I'm happy to be here tonight. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to come, Lord, around the Word of God and, Lord, fellowship, Lord, with like precious faith of our brothers and sisters. We ask you tonight, Father, that you would come in behalf of these prayer requests tonight. May, Lord, there be reports tonight, Lord, of each request, Lord, that you have intervened and you have come, Lord, and you've set free, Lord, tonight, Lord, and delivered, Father, we pray. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Thank you for everyone that's been here tonight, Lord, in anticipation, oh God, and raise hands, Father, and needs among us. I pray, oh God, that you'll come and minister to every need, Father, for your glory in the remaining portion of the service tonight of your word as it goes forth. Lord Jesus, may there be free course tonight for your word to go forth and anchor in the hearts of the believers, for we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Certainly appreciate Brother Jackie Benton, what he means to our, he and Sister Wilma, what they mean to our assembly. Just precious, precious people. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming this service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Somebody say praise the Lord. Tell you what, let's sing an old song that we've wore out, but I still think it's a good song. I bless your name. How many of you feel like you'd just like to bless his name tonight? Just saw Brother Pinky and Sister Phyllis come in. As many of you, most of you know, on Sunday afternoon, they lost their home, all their belongings to a house fire. But they're right back in the house of God tonight at the post of duty. We're going to be praying for them, aren't we? God bless you, Eddie. Appreciate you all. Amen. Let's sing this song tonight. I bless your name. Brother Harry, if you'd lead us in the verses tonight.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night.
Oh, they prayed that night.
And in their pain,
hallelujah,
began to sing.
Oh, yes, they did.
The chains were loose.
Hallelujah.
And they were free.
Let's sing it. I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name. I give you honor.
I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way.
I bless your
truth, the way.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sister Tamika, as you and the boys, ever how you have that arranged tonight, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing, Brother Harvey. Sister Shirley, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. We'll go right on into the service tonight. I've got more song requests. We'll just fill them as we can, but we'll just do this tonight. These were already in waiting, so let's give our singers a nice hand tonight as they come and get ready to sing Our God Reigns. Our God Reigns. Let's sing just this little chorus just as they get ready tonight to sing for us. Our God Reigns. Aren't you glad you're serving a risen Savior? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus just as they get ready tonight to sing for us. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns.
His name is Jesus.
Oh, our God reigns.
Oh, our Lord Jesus.
Yes, our God reigns.
He reigns.
Our God reigns.
Yes, He reigns.
One more time.
Our God reigns.
Yes, our God reigns.
His name is Jesus.
The Lord. You can be seated tonight. God bless you.
When I'm in need, I call on the Lord, and He hears me, and He helps me. He is faithful and true, won't forget His own.
Forget His own.
He's my companion, my best friend, the only true God. There's no one greater, a wonderful Savior, Jesus, the Lion of Judah.
Our God is tremendous, His strength never failing. He goes through the
on the Lord, and He hears me.
forget his own.
I'll forget his own.
He's my companion, my best friend, the only true God. There's no one greater, wonderful Savior of Jesus, the Lion of Judah.
Stumbling alone in the darkness, I was looking for light to shine. Searching for the source of revelation to fill this darkened heart of mine.
Oh, the greatest mystery the world's ever known was made so clear to me. When the light of God's Word shined into my heart, and now my blinded eyes can see, and now I see myself like my Father does. I'm not of the darkness like I was. Change me when His light came in. No longer in the night, I'm a child of the light. I've been born again.
So many are wandering in darkness, they're children of the night. They need a glorious transformation from the kingdom of darkness to light.
For a long time ago on Resurrection Day, Jesus the light broke through to provide us a way from night to day, a path of light for me and for you. And now I see myself like my Father does. I'm not of the darkness like I was.
child of the light, I've been born again. And now I see myself like my Father does. I'm not of the darkness like I was. For He changed me when His light came in. No longer the night, I'm a child of the light. I've been born again. No longer in the night, I'm a child of the light. I've been born
again. Test. Boo, devil. Aren't we blessed tonight to be able to be walking in the light?
Amen.
No longer a child of darkness.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 6. I'm sure that most of you have heard about Brother Pink and Sister Phyllis's house burning and them losing everything basically that they had, and would like to lift an offering for them maybe on Sunday. Just wanted to kind of give you a heads up on that so you can just plan on bringing something for them. Also, I was contacted this afternoon by a dear friend of mine, Brother William Ryerson from Norway, and his wife had a stroke in her brain yesterday, and certainly needs a miracle from the Lord. Also, Brother Frazier needs a touch from God as well. Just having some issues in his body. Want to remember them as well. Brother Jason Watkins will be with us this weekend, so you get to hear a good preacher come in. So if you can put up with me one more night, you'll get a little bit of a break. Poor little things. We got a lot to be thankful for and a lot to pray for, don't we? Let's read the scripture together and then we'll pray together. Let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him. And be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi, he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. And they shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Amen. Brother Jack Benton, I just recognize you. It's really good to see you in church tonight, buddy. Let's pray together. I'm sure you have a need. You ought to make it known before the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, before we break your word, the bread of life, we want to bring these needs and requests before you tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that as we go on in time, because of the weakness of the flesh and diseases and things that are so prevalent in this day, no doubt our needs as we get closer to the rapture will be even more numerous than they were before. The sicknesses, diseases, afflictions that sow upon the sons of men. But yet we know your word tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So Lord, we want to bring these needs and requests before you tonight, Father. I pray for Sister Ryerson, Lord, you see this situation with this stroke in her brain. And God, I'm asking you for your mercy to help her, dear Father. Lord, Brother Frazier as well, you see that he's had so many complications, Lord, in his body. I'm asking you, Father, that you would just help him. May you move for him there, Lord. As Brother Ron told me today, it's truly going to take a miracle to bring him out from where he is. But we know you're a Jehovah of miracles. Amen. Father, these many needs and requests, we just want to lay them before the throne of God. We want to cast all of our cares on you, for we know you care for us. So we don't want to bring them there and then take them back home with us. It won't do any good. But we want to leave our burdens with you and know that you're a God who answers our prayers. I pray that you would help us tonight in the service, Father. May you anoint us with your presence. May we be benefited, Lord, by our gathering together here tonight in the house of God. We so love you, Lord. Speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let us pick up in verse 8 on Levi. As we looked at it last week, this would have been a very difficult tribe to been born in with much of a hopeful spiritual prospect of God being able to do much for you. Because of what the rebellion of Levi and Simeon, when they had went up against this man who had humbled their sister, of course they killed men, women, innocent people. They dealt so cruelly with the animals, and God so despised the vengeance and the anger that these two brothers shed. And when Jacob begins to speak about them, Jacob has nothing good to say. It's as if the promise of God will no longer even be on Levi's house at all. To have been born in this tribe would have been quite a disadvantage. But if God himself would have allowed you to have been born in that tribe, and then God himself would have inspired you to do something to raise you seemingly above the prophecy that had been given, what a great challenge that would have been for any man. But yet, here Moses, Phinehas, Aaron, the Levites, many others, they were able to somehow link the inspiration of God up with the prophecy and know that one cannot go contrary to the other. They must harmonize. Now, the word that Jacob spoke as far as them being scattered among Israel, that must forever be true. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. But God knew that there was a way that that prophecy could be fulfilled and yet it be turned up instead of turned down so that the blessing would actually become inherent to those who were recipients of what God had in his heart that he wanted to do. Now, you know, I think of you and I today and think of what we do for God, our desire for God, our accomplishments for the kingdom of God and the purpose of God. And I think if this was said about many of us, well, I wonder what some of us would have done. Some of us, we basically have pretty much all positive promises in the Word of God. And a lot of us still don't do nothing. But if we would have this that have been so negative against us, what would we have ever done for the kingdom of God? Would we have ever had any desire, any spiritual stamina, any ability to ever arise over something that seemed like was a complete impossibility? There's no need for you to even try because our tribe is not going to get any great land inheritance. We're not going to ever be great among them. And yet the Spirit of God moves upon these people that are Levites and starts out with Amram and Yochebed and begins to move upon them to save this child. Why save him? He's of the tribe of Levi. He'll never amount to anything anyway. But yet somehow the Spirit of God anointed them. And then of course Moses, when he raises and he starts out wrong, he has an intellectual conception of what he's supposed to do. That intellectual conception turns around, produces a murderer instead of a prophet. That's why intellectual faith is so damning and can be so dangerous to our souls. And yet, somehow God was not going to let it fall through. God was not going to cast this man aside. And yet, why would God choose a man that by judgment, their whole tribe, by the judgment of God, had been dispersed among Israel? Why would God use a tribe who had been dispersed among them by judgment, and God would turn around and use one from that very own tribe and let him be the very leader that would bring judgment on the entire nation? It seems almost opposites in how that God somehow will work. Now watch, as Moses begins to speak, and I can imagine that by this time that some of the tribe of Levi already spiritually know that they will ascend above what seemed like would be a curse to them, and they would never rise above it. Now they've already had leaders among them that have been able to ascend to the heights of the prophecy of what God wanted them to be. And they've already been under the redemptive favor of God under this administration of these men. So no doubt it was not strange that they could assume that God had something in his mind for them. So in verse 8, now Moses says, of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One. Now up to every other place in the scripture when this is mentioned, it's always mentioned in the reverse order, and that is the Urim and the Thummim. Now remember, these are compound words, and it is a direct revelation from God about favor and justice and equality and judgment. And it also has to do, of course, with reflective light. Now the Urim and the Thummim was that which was given by God to the chosen ones, which would have the ability to discern and give judgment among the people of Israel. So here he says, by thy Thummim and by thy Urim. Now what you notice, for you and I to think that everything in our life is not that every step in our life, God knows every step we'll make in our life, but many people get in their mind that election and predestination and foreknowledge that God ordained for them to come to church, you know, with a black sock on and a green sock, and that was ordained of God, and they backslid 5 years ago, and that was ordained of God. You need to reread your Bible. There's much that happens in our life is not ordained of God. God knew we would do it, but God himself never predetermined that you would do it. Now listen to this, how that God is going to place upon the tribe of Levi, and it was not so much that God said, well, now this is what I wanted and this is what I chose, but they're going to receive this tribal blessing because of a desire that some of their forefathers had. It was not because God said, well, I'm just going to ordain it, now I'm going to do it whether or not y'all want it, and y'all just be lazy and do whatever you want to do, and I'll make this and that and the other out of it. Look, friend, that is not the principle of God. And it's not going to be the principle by which he's going to bless them. Notice how God ties this now, this Thummim and this Urim, as he calls it. He said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One. Now, the Thummim, the Urim, and the Thummim was a projection of the right and the perfect way of God. Now, it was a way, of course, that God was giving them, showing that there would not always be a prophet among them which would have the ability to break into the realm of vision. As long as you got a prophet, he can break into the realm of vision. God can show him, you know, well, do this, do that, do that. But God knew there would be many, many hundreds of years that they would not have a prophet, and they would need to know the right direction. So if someone had a dream, they would have to know, is this dream from God? You know, was it a pinto bean dream? Was it a too much corn dream? Was it a full belly dream? What kind of dream was this? So God knew they'd have to have a way. It was not just enough to have the written word, but they would have to have a supernatural supernatural element. So the supernatural element would be the birthstones that would be written on the breastplate, and if the high priest would wear this. But it was not just that. There must be supernaturally something that would strike it. So if one of you brothers and sisters had a dream, you would walk before the priest and you would tell the dream, I really believe this dream is from God. I really feel like it's from God. And you would tell the dream. Now, the priest has on this part of the Urim, which is the name of all the tribes, a birthstone of each one. That's lined up and down his chest. But if that dream is from God, then there will be a supernatural light which will begin to shine those stones with an iridescent type of color, and it will merge all of those colors together, and it will produce a rainbow sign. So you've got the Urim and the Thummim as it merges together, which is right and wrong, and it is the ability supernaturally to give them the direction that they need. You understand? Now, this is given to who? It's not given to Judah. It's not given to Joseph. It's not given to Benjamin. But it is given to the tribe that is going to be scattered among all the children of Israel and seemingly going to lose all of their blessing. But how was it given to them? It was redeemed back to them by men who were willing to stand up for what they felt like was right, and by the pulsation of faith under the channel of the anointing of that hour. Now, even though they would have had no scripture, as we would say it in our terms, they would have had no scripture to put their finger on and say, now, there'll be a man of the tribe of Levi that'll do this and this. There was no prophecy concerning any of the tribe of Levi that would do this or that. But yet, the pulsation of faith that was striking them was in such harmony with the mind of God. Now, it might have seemed as if though it was contrary to the mind of God, but remember, God has a written will and God has an unwritten will. And it takes the supernatural leadership of God to catch the unwritten will. Now, this is what the Urim Thummim is going to be. So who is going to get that? When God takes his prophet off the earth, who is going to have the divine ability to be able to lead the people? Now, Binyamin, he's going to be a great warrior. Asher will do this and Naphtali will do that. Judah's going to be a lion. But a lot of that is going to be the natural civil government that's going on inside the body. And they need all of that. But who is going to be put in charge of the supernatural element of teaching the word, of getting the word of God? Now remember, it's not every generation's not going to have a prophet. So they've got to have some people that will be able to get the leadership of the Lord. So God gives them this Urim Thummim. Now whenever they need a direction from God, this supernatural, the last will come. So if a king would approach the Urim Thummim, should I go here? Should I do this? Should I fight this battle? Or should I refrain? How should I do this? Then if God wants the man to go, Lord, is this is what you want? Then the light of God will supernaturally shine upon what? It's shining upon their names identified as it is bore upon the hearts of the ministry. But it is each of them having a tribal identification, and the supernatural power of God shines upon their names, and as it shines upon their names, it gives them the answer back of what God wants for their life. I'm about to have a spell. I'll tell you one thing. That's where we are right now. The Holy Ghost wants to shine the revealed word upon our own lives and reveal to us the mystery of God that is inclusive for us. It's easy for us to see. Brother Branham fulfilled his part, did he not? And he did it well. Many of your mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and so on and so on, they fulfilled their part, and now they've gone on to their reward. But we are still here, and we are still alive, and we've still got a part of us. I want to help you find the mystery for your life. But to be honest with you, I'm concerned about the mystery for my life. What does God want me to do? What's my portion? I don't want to miss it. I'm going to answer to God for that. And the prophet said, God brought you on the earth for a reason. He said, then it is your responsibility to go to him who brought you on the earth and say, Lord, why am I here? Why am I here? Listen, friends, it's more than making a living. It's more than even going to church. It's more than raising your family. Each of the bride of Christ has a supernatural element that God's given to her. And you're going to answer for it. It's your responsibility. Oh, my.
I want you to notice this, that the way that he looks at it, that Moses says it now, that thy Thummim and thy Urim is given to thy Holy One. Now, he doesn't say Holy Ones as in plural. So the projection of God now, of the divine leadership, the spiritual part of the children of Israel, Levi, has been chosen. But chosen why? How was he given this? I want to emphasize, you don't get nothing else out of the service. How was he chosen to be able to receive this? It was by those that they had become benefactors of their faith and their stand for the word. Now, God actually chose Moses, and of course, God chose Aaron, and we believe God chose Phinehas, and God chose others. But it was going to be these men by which God is actually going to accredit the reason they got the Urim Thummim. Now, why? How was it they got it? Was Moses better looking than some of the rest of the other guys? Moses had more curls in his beard than some of the rest of them. His hair was nicer. It had nothing to do with it. It was his desire, his stamina, standing for God when the opposition is great. You see, these things have a great pull on God's being. The way we stand for God in opposition, the way we stand for God in trouble, the way we stand for God, the way you put God in the order in your life has a great deal of what God will do with you and what you will amount to spiritually. Oh my. Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One. Which of course is speaking of Aaron. Now Aaron is the first one in this line that has the ability to receive the Urim Thummim. Now once he dies, of course, it goes to his son on down, on down, on down. But let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One. Now Aaron is called God's Holy One. Now remember, of course, he is a type of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus, which is to come. All of our names, of course, embedded in him, the Lamb's Book of Light. When he comes upon the earth, when the seven seals are open, then the light of God shines upon there and reveals who you are. Well, hallelujah. Notice now, of Levi said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah. Now notice here how God, by prophetic utterance through Moses, is identifying one of the reasons you are getting the Thummim and the Urim. It's because of the way you stood for me at Massah and Meribah. The reason you're getting it. Oh my goodness, you mean it's not because they're ordained and predestinated and chosen and they don't have to do nothing. They just pile up in a recliner, you know, and they don't have to do one thing. That ain't what God said. God never said because I chose you and because I wanted you to have it, but you have it because of the way you stood for me at Massah and Meribah. Now you remember that, of course, that it's when the people of God came up against Moses for the water. And they wanted water and they rebelled against God. When they rebelled against Moses, they rebelled against God. But yet God identifies them getting the correct leadership of the will of God because of their stand. Sometimes I wonder, friends, whenever we're praying about the will of God and we don't get the direct answer, we say, God, why don't you do this? Maybe you might want to check back your life and see where you stood. The ones who gets the leadership of the Spirit of God in their lives is the one who stands for Him in the time of trouble. And they also stand for Him when things is going good. Praise the Lord. Now notice, this is the sole reason that God, looking at this, He says, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. Now, God answers this as if though it is the entire tribe, because this is where prophetically Moses is speaking to the tribe of Levi, yet it was not the entire tribe of Levi that actually stood up at Massah or Meribah, but it was two men. But those two men redeemed the entire tribe. Those two men, oh my, don't tell me you mothers and fathers and deacons and preachers and all of us, even as individuals, cannot have an effect upon our family, our community, our church, our home. It was not because the whole tribe. You don't find the whole tribe standing up at Massah. You don't find the whole tribe standing up at Meribah. But what you find is two men. And because of the confidence of those two men and the stance of those two men against everybody else, they were going to stone him. And even though Moses made a mistake at Meribah, even though it was going to cost him going into the land, his stand for God overrode his mistake. And it was so great that God said, because of that, I will give the Urim and the Thummim to the tribe of Levi. Hallelujah. Let thy thummim and thy urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove. Whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at Meribah. And here now, these two heads of the tribe, they are representing the whole tribe. I wonder if they knew this. I wonder if they'd known it. More than likely they didn't. If you knew the consequence of what you would do right, and the consequence of what you would do wrong, and see the unfolding of that both ways of what it could have on you and your family for years to come, I guarantee you that affect every one of us. We'd make a lot of different decisions in what we do now, but most of us live for the moment. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And boy, I've got to run over here, and I'll tell you one thing. I've just got to lie a little bit right now. Yeah, I'll repent later. I've got to fix this right now. I've got to do this. Oh, friend, don't do it. Don't do it. It's too costly. I don't imagine Moses and Aaron knew exactly what they were doing. All they knew was they had to stand for what was right. They had to stand for what was right. And the pulsation of faith, I heard Brother M. say it today. I have heard, but now I say, or works as faith expressed, excuse me. He said, move on that pulsation of faith. When that faith strikes you, move on that pulsation. How many's ever had it when it strikes your heart and all of a sudden, my, you just know you're healed or you've got faith to believe? I heard him say again on the same tape today. He said, you don't ever have faith. Faith is given to you. He said, faith is a gift of God. It's given to you. Well, glory. That's how you're going to leave this world in a body change. It's going to be given to you. In these trials, in these tests, Levi proved himself above what seemed like would be no good at all for them to ever come to. Yet they were proven in these tribal heads that they could handle the justice of God. God says, I give you the Urim. Thummim. Glory to God. How do you know when you're being opposed at work or at school? How do you know what God's got planned for you? But it don't always show you the reward while you're going through the trial. Because then you'd be serving Him for reward's sake. Real people of God serve Him if there ain't no reward. Please don't misunderstand me. If there was no heaven and no hell, I'd still want to be a Christian. Just for the blessings and the peace and the happiness that I have right now as a child of God, if there was no heaven or no hell, I'd still choose to serve the Lord. You say you're crazy. Well, I knew that. Tell me something I didn't know. I still want to serve Him. I still want to live for Him. My, He's been better to me in one day than the devil could be to me in 50,000 lifetimes. That's right. Now notice how God goes on to display the traits or the characteristics of this tribe that makes it so outstanding. I want you to notice the things now that God is referring to. It's not election, it's not calling, it's not foreknowledge, it's not predestination. It's characteristics and traits that are embedded in this people that endows them with this great blessing of God. Friend, as much as we believe in election, and we do we not? And calling and foreknowledge of God. Yet there are things we must do. Notice in verse 9 what he said about Levi, now that they've got the Urim Thummim, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. What in the world? Now you can tell by this that it's symbolic language. Listen what he's saying. They will not have respect to their family, to their friends, to their buddies when it comes to the judgment of the word. They'll even say to his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. If it comes to right and wrong and my daddy's wrong just the same as the guy who hates me. Now notice, where though did this come from? Where did this trait manifest itself? I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren. Now, what's God bringing on down? Neither did he acknowledge his brethren. Now, your God is showing prophetically by this utterance of Moses. You want to know why you're getting this? Y'all are overwhelmed and you just can't believe that the tribe of Levi is getting this blessing. And why in the world would you get it? I'm going to tell you why. You love me. You love me more than you love the world. You love me more than you love your mama, more than you love your daddy. You stood for me at the waters of Meribah. You stood for me here. You stood for me there. Go to God. Don't say, because I love you and I picked you and you're my favorite and you're my pet. It was them. I'll tell you one thing, friends. If God blesses many of us for according to our desire and our intention, we're going to be in a mess of trouble. If he blesses us according to our faithfulness to the house of God, our faithfulness to reading the word, our faithfulness to prayer. Oh my. Well, you're getting quiet in Roman now. Not biased by respect to family or friends. Watch in 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Oh my goodness. The sons of Eli. Now, Eli was a priest preceding the prophetic days of Samuel. And Eli knew that his sons were not doing right. And the Lord sent an angel down there and talks to him and tells him. But he goes right on. They cheat the people of the sacrifices. They're doing things that's wrong. And Eli don't stop it. Now, Eli, of course, is a Levite. He is in the right tribe, but he don't have the right spirit. You see, you can be born in the right tribe and still not have the right flesh. You can come right here to this church and still not have the Holy Ghost. You can be right in this message and not be born again. This man was born in the right lineage. By right of lineage, he's in the right place. But there's something about his spirit. Had this man been at Masai, had this man been at Meribah, had this man been where they made the idolatry of the golden calf, he would have spared his own family. You see how leaders can choose to be chosen to represent one side or the other. I'm so glad Eli was not there at the golden calf. Oh my. Verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Now you remember the end, of course, of Eli and what happened to him and his sons. Why? Because he did not follow through. Now remember, the Levites, of course, is a type of the ministry. And the ministry, if the ministry starts out, and generally you find it so, every generation gets farther and farther and farther away from that original word. Now, Brother Branham came and brought a restoration message, we believe with all of our hearts. It restored holiness. It restored so many wonderful things. But you know what? Some of us are second and third and fourth generation. And as we see it going on in time, we see more worldliness creeping into the church. We see more things creeping into the church. If time goes on and it comes into another generation, it'll be less and less and less of the power of God. Come on, church. People was on fire, had a revival. My, they couldn't listen to enough tapes. You couldn't have church often enough for them. You have prayer meeting, they're begging you to have midweek services in the middle of the midweek. And before long, the fire begins to kind of die down a little bit and they lose that. And then what they do, they turn into an Eli. Well, I know my sons ain't doing everything that they really should do, but you know, God understands. God understands you're a compromiser. Praise the Lord. Now watch in 1 Samuel chapter 8 verse 14. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel. Now here we have a different administration. Not the Levite so much, but a prophet. Came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now notice as it come from the generation of Eli down to his sons, look how different they were. Now that was in the priesthood. But now we have it in the prophetic order. So we have Samuel the prophet and we have his sons that have caught so far away from God. Oh my goodness, you folks are so quiet on me tonight. You mean these are prophet's sons? Well, glory. This is what your Bible says. I'm going to do with it what you will. Notice now. And his sons were far away from God. They had this great righteous father, had this loving man that loved God and had visions, but yet you can't go in on daddy's religion. You got to have your own experience. Oh my. Said unto him, behold, thou art old and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king. Now you realize this is one of the reasons that they use this as an excuse. To bring a king. What a terrible thing that a failure in the prophet's family makes them ask for a denominational headship. And Samuel said, no, you don't need this king. You don't need this king. And God said, they have not rejected you. They have rejected me. But what was part of their excuse? The prophet's own family. Right? Right. So you see the same with us. Now we come down to a second and third and fourth generation. God don't have no message grandchildren. Each of us must have our own walk with God. And we must keep it updated. You can't go on what you was 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I'll tell you, friend, those who don't keep up with God right now, they're going to lose. I'm telling you right now before it happens. I warned you years ago and some of you ain't followed me. That's why you're where you are tonight. That's exactly right. We have seen hundreds of people come and go through this church. People that was one time on fire with God, prayed, read their Bible, come to church. Where are they tonight? Out running around drinking, doing this, that, and the other. Why? They think they know more about what they should do than God's men who's called to send over them to try to tell them the right way. So they discern their own. I don't think I need this. I think I need to do that. Have you got the Urim? If you've got the Urim, then shine it on your life and let it lead you to perfect liberty. But if you don't, you might want to send unto the ministry of those who do have. Praise the Lord. Now you see the Spirit, the original anointing, redemptive work that brought them to this place was not compromised and all. Oh, you know what? That don't matter and that don't matter. It was standing there for God. I'll tell you one thing. I'll stand. I don't care what I got to do. But then as it kept going by, another generation. What difference does hair make? What difference if you wear skirts or pants or, you know, these tight things under them and makes it look like breeches and, you know, you wear your dresses way up here this short and wear that long. What difference does it make? Fence straddler. Trying to look like the world. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Notice the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 12, verse 47. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, oh my goodness, what a rude preacher. Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Well, he knew who his mother was and knew who his brother was, but he's proving a point. Oh my. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. Now you see the people there thought. They thought that the mother and the brothers would get a special place. And we know no doubt that he reverenced her as he should have. All that sort of thing. But they was not in their thinking the way he was thinking. In his thinking. They're thinking Mary's going to have a special place. Pre-Catholicism, you say. I'll tell you how special Mary was. She had to go to the upper room and get filled with the Holy Ghost like everybody else did. Glory to God. And Mary has not interceded for one saint. You can say Hail Mary so you turn blue in the face and Mary cannot hear your prayer. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. He has the Urim. He has the Urim. So he's not given his mother. He's not given his half-brothers a special position in the body. No, James was his half-brother. Don't even mention it. The author of the book of James, He was the half-brother, the half-foster brother of the Lord Jesus, and James don't even mention it. James had the Holy Ghost. Well, glory. Mark was Barnabas' sister's son. But yet when him and Paul had a disagreement, and Mark had left them earlier in the missionary tour, and whenever they wanted to go back again, and Paul said, no, I'm not taking him. No, no. He's too immature. You know, whatever it was that he said. And Barnabas said, what? I want him to go. I want him to go. And Paul said, no, he's not going. I'm telling you. And this good man, Barnabas, stood with his nephew instead of standing with God's prophet. And once they parted their ways again, Barnabas is never mentioned again in the scripture. Why? Family. Well, glory. Some folks will stand with family before they'll stand with God. Well, my daddy don't believe this. My brother-in-law, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm going to tell you this. This is where I stand. Yes, sir. If my daddy don't believe it, my mama don't believe it, my brothers don't believe it, my sisters don't believe it, my wife don't believe it, my children don't believe it, my son-in-laws don't believe it, you don't believe it. I'm going to believe it anyhow. I'm going with you or without you. The question is not, am I going? The question is, are you? I'm going. I'm talking about from my account now. You've got to look at it exactly the same way. I'm going to heaven because I come from heaven, and I'm going back to where I come from. And I'm going with or without you. That's entirely up to you. But you're not stopping me. The devil ain't stopping me. The church ain't stopping me. The world ain't stopping me. I'm going home with Jesus. Oh, my. You mean something like that matters to God? Ask Levi. Who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children. Look at the strait that God so looked at it and God loved it. You would probably be devastated if you knew how many preachers in this message are nothing but compromisers. Compromising with their family, that is. I love my family, but I ain't compromising for a one of them. No, sir. I love my brother Harry, greatest organ player I've ever heard in my life. But if Harry ever gets sin in his life, I'll treat him like I treat anybody else. Praise the Lord. My son-in-law sitting here tonight, another night on a cruise ship somewhere, it makes no difference to me. My daughters, I'm going to stand for God. I said, I'm going to stand for God. Because I'm not going to stand before you at the day of judgment, or you, or you, or you, or my wife, or my cousin. I want to stand before him, and I want to make sure I've done what's right. Well, I'm going to make some of you mad in doing it, and you ain't going to understand. That's quite all right. I figured that comes with the turf. But I want to know one thing. When I stand before him, that he can look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You never knew your mother. You never knew your father. You never compromised for your brothers. You never cut a corner for this one and a corner for that one. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Oh, my. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren. Had no respect whatsoever when it come to judgment for anybody. Black, white, red, yellow, rich, poor, they all stood the same. Praise God. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. Now what's amazing is, it wasn't this whole tribe that did this. It was godly representatives. If God would let a few men represent a tribe and totally change their inheritance, no wonder God could take one man, the man Christ Jesus, and totally change everything about us. One man represented me in the Garden of Eden, and because he fell, I fell with him. Another man represented me in the Garden of Gethsemane, and because he rose, I rose with him. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God sent a man in this day to break the word of God and break open the seals. Amen. And because of that, we stand with him in this word. I believe we were identified beyond the curtain of time that day when he was carried over into the sixth dimension and millions of voices screamed out, "We are resting on that." I believe we was part of those theophanies that was there, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Notice what God says now in verse 10. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments. Now watch this seemingly cursing. Thou shalt be scattered and divided among Jacob. Which is going to work out ideally now. Because the males were required to come to Jerusalem three times a year. The females were not. The holy feasts, the males would come. So if you lived in Dan, if you lived in Beersheba, plumb at the other end, it was quite a distance, quite a sacrifice. So maybe some of your sisters wouldn't get to go to Jerusalem for years. Years before you'd get to go. But God said, I tell you what I want you to do. Among the tribe of Dan, allow so many cities for the Levites. And over in Asher, allow so many cities over there. What's he doing? Taking the prophecy that Jacob said and turning it around and blending it right back in by redemption of these men who was able to redeem them. So now, instead of everybody having to go to Jerusalem, what do you find? You've got Levites scattered through the entire land. You've got Levites scattered through the entire land. And what are they doing while they're there? Now remember, they've only got cities. They're only been part of a city. So they don't have acreage out here. They're not to be all tied up in a bunch of business and doing this and that and the other. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. Their allotment is the word. Notice what God said. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments. They're not to have pyramid schemes. The pastor of the church ain't to be at the top of the pyramid and everybody else is selling out from under him and bringing him all the moolah. Oh, don't get quiet on me now, children. But they are to be among the people and teach them. Well, you know, maybe you didn't get to go to Jerusalem and you didn't get to go. You were sick and you was weak and you couldn't do it. But guess what? Because of this thing that God had turned around into a blessing, it just so happens you got Levites living in your neighborhood. Oh, hallelujah. And maybe you don't understand about the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of the Fruits Gatherings or whatever more. And you go down to the guy who is not allowed to own all this acreage, but he spends his time in the Word. Amen. He spends his time in the Word. And then you find somebody over in Dan. They can do the same thing. Somebody in Naphtali can do the same thing. In Manasseh. Why? Because God used men to redeem this tribe back to a place and make this prophecy harmonize together to his will. Oh, glory to God. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. But now, of course, if they would have received an inheritance like everybody else, they'd have been tending sheep, camels, she asses, raising crops, doing all this, that, and other. And then a preacher on the side. Praise the Lord. So God just turned this thing right around and said, this is going to work out excellent. Who but God could do such a thing? Now notice, he says, they'll teach Jacob thy judgments, Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, talking about before God, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Notice now Leviticus 10:11, that they may teach the children of Israel, speaking of Levi, and all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Now I want you to notice this book that I just read from. Look at the name. Whose name do you see in that? Judicus? Danicus? Who's this book named after? This book is named after the mystery of their life, which seemed like was totally destroyed by their father. Their father never embraced the fullness. Would they have ever thought that there would have been a book that would have been merged together and it would have become their title deed? When you read the book of Leviticus, what do you read? You read what they are doing. They do this sacrifice. They do this. They do this. They do... Oh. Hallelujah. It is the mystery of their life. What they're called to do. Remember Levi. The word Levi means to adhere or to glue. And you remember his mother thinking that once she produced Levi, that her husband would join himself to her. But God had a hidden mystery in his name. It was not so much that her husband would be joined to her, but her husband would be joined to her. Israel's husband, amen, would be joined to how? By Levi. And he would write the mystery of his life in this book and call it Leviticus. Praise be to God. Oh my, look at Deuteronomy 17:8. And if there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, between matters of controversy within thy gates, then thou shalt arise and get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt come unto the priests and Levites. Now notice, this is going to be longer in succession than it would be the era or the dispensation of prophets. There will be prophets that will come and go, come and go, come and go. But the Levites and the priests will be there for hundreds and hundreds of years from the time they start until basically they end up as a nation. So this is God's decree. Whenever two brothers is into an argument and they can't settle it between blood and plea, then what you want to do is go up to who? Go to the king. That ain't what he said. Go up there to the mayor of the city, the tax collector. Who do you say go to? Well, come on, children. Who do you say go to? The priest and the Levites. Why? They have the Urim Thummim. They are called. They're not all caught up out here in the things of the world and so busy. You know, they ain't got time for this and that in the spiritual matters of God. Oh my. Thou shalt come to the priests and the Levites unto the judge that shall be in those days and inquire, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment, and thou shalt do according to the sentence. Of course, today people come and ask you for your advice and go ahead and do whatever they want to do anyway. I've been convinced for a long time folks are going to do what they want to do. I don't care how many scriptures you show them and how many quotes you show them. You can stand on your head and gargle peanut butter. And when you're done, you're just going to be choked to death. And they're going to do what they want to do anyhow. But so is the bride. And we want to serve him.
And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place that the Lord shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all they inform thee.
Now you imagine the judgment of separation caused these two tribes to lose their position. It is so turned around that Levi is now administering judgment. Judgment was the very thing that separated him. Glory to God. What separated you from God? Sin. And it looked like he was lost and gone. And what happened? The judgment of God broke on your soul, and that old nature of yours died, and the old husband died. And then here you are. You become the mercy seat. Oh, glory to God that when you leave this earth, God quits dealing with the Gentiles.
Praise God. Let's jump down here to verse 11. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite to the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. Bless, Lord, his substance. Now notice, he don't pray for his corn, he don't pray for his wine, he don't pray for his cattle, he don't pray for his sheep. Wow, the Levites aren't people of substance, natural acreage and all of that, like the rest of the tribes of Israel. Praise the Lord. But his substance is a different substance. He has substance. What does it consist of? The Lord. I realize that ain't nothing compared to Cadillacs. I know that. That ain't nothing compared to, you know, houses and lands and this, that, and other, you know. If you're an idiot. But his substance was in word, teaching, judgment, tithing, first fruits, sacrifices, incense, offerings. Bless his substance. We're not praying over grapes. We're not praying over wine and corn. We're praying over the spiritual sustenance of the entire body. Praise God. Now notice how God then goes on the defensive of these people. Except the work of his hands, which of course would be the sacrifices for the atonement of the people. So Moses is praying the very blessing of God to be the recipient of the atonement of Yom Kippur on the sacrifices of all the things that they're to bring to God, the wave offering, the general offering, the sheaf offering. And God is asking them, Moses is asking God to bless the work of their hands. The work of their hands is totally different from their brothers. Benjamin's going to be a fighter, you know, and Naphtali's going to do this, and Dan's going to be a troop, and Gad's going to be a, you know, leap over a wall, and they're going to do this and that. But he says, Lord, when it comes to this, these people need the blessing of this. If the men ministry is blessed, Lord, with the word, with understanding, the entire nation will be blessed. Look, children, if our nation, America, would not have turned God down 1956, years and years ago, we would not be where we are now. Look at where we are when our president thinks he's got the authority to say a boy and a girl can go in the same bathrooms and be able to expose our women and our girls. Oh my, what brought it on us? Our sins as a nation. Lord have mercy. Help us. Help us, God. Oh, Brother Donnie, we need somebody else in the White House. No, we needed somebody up in the big house. Somebody from up at the big house come down here to buy all these little houses in order to take us up to his father's house. It's too late for the White House. It's done too far gone. God help us if either one of them that's running now gets it. It shows how far our nation's fallen, friends. Who would have ever thought years ago either one of the high contenders right now would have ever got... They wouldn't even been fit for sheriff. They wouldn't even been fit for mayor. Years ago, they wouldn't even have been fit for, Lord have mercy, I can't go low enough, I don't figure, the jailer. But to run for president of the United States? Come, Lord Jesus. Now notice, and God goes on the defensive of Levi. Smite through the loins. The loins. Of them that rise against him. This is, of course, the reproductive ability. So for those who strike God's call ministry, you're not only cutting your own throat. You're cutting the throat of your kids, of your family. If this was so under the old Levitical order, how much greater is it now? Those who stand against God's prophet, can you imagine? Mama. Smite to the loins of them that rise against him. Showing that Levi would have great enemies. Praise the Lord. Now it's amazing because you're not going to find them out there so much fighting as most of the other brethren. But theirs is going to be from a different approach. And we can see prophetically how it came down through the ages. Watch in Jeremiah 15:10. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife. And a man of contention. To the whole earth. God knew real preachers would be one of the greatest hated of any category that's ever lived on the earth. Except for certain ones, of course. You imagine a prophet of God, Jeremiah, saying, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I've neither lent on usury nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. You see, Levi would need a special blessing in this way that all the rest of the tribes wouldn't need. Because their enemies wouldn't necessarily be sword enemies. Shield and spear. It would be heart enemies. It's not so much that a preacher has scars under his eyes and, you know, where he's been hit with swords and this and that. Most preachers, it's God called, pack them in here. And they build and build and build over the years. And they have very few that they feel like they could ever talk to and open up to. So they share the load and the burden and the hurts and the disappointments in their people. You'd have to be a pastor, friend, to know and to understand what it's like to preach and study and give your all and study hours and hours and hours for a sermon. And you come to church and half the folks ain't even there. And then you do the same thing the next weekend and they still ain't there. And you do the same thing on a Wednesday night and they still ain't there. Because they're too busy. Got too many things to do. Oh, you get up and preach it anyway. Preach it with all your heart. Preach it with everything that's in you. But does it hurt you? It breaks your heart. Now you imagine Jeremiah was given a message that was of so that he was so hated that he even brings his mother into this. Woe is me, my mother. Thou was born a man of strife. A man of contention to the whole earth. You know, Jesus said that we were the light of the world. Not just, of course, talking about preachers, but talking about his elect of God. That we are the light of the earth. But light is offensive to sore eyes. Jesus also said that we were the salt of the earth. But salt is very sensitive to pains, open wounds. Very bitter to open wounds. You ever get a little dab of salt in an open wound? Oh, my. Really hurts, don't it? Now he says, God, those that rise up against Levi, smite them in the loins that they'll not be able to reproduce. That they rise not again. This is not said about any of the other tribes. You get rid of Levi, you annihilate all of Israel. You lose Simeon and let them merge into the rest of the tribes. Do you really tell a difference from there on out? Now listen carefully. Let Reuben be unstable as water. Let them get their inheritance on the other side. And the main body of Israel will go on for hundreds of years. But you take out Levi. And the whole nation goes. They are the glue that ties God together. Now, some of y'all lose a car. Okay. You lose a boat. You lose something in your natural life. You may cry over, oh, what's that? Oh, man, now what am I going to do? I lost my favorite golf club. Oh, my goodness. But you lose your walk with God. Lose your home. Lose, you know, a natural possession. But if your church gets taken from you. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, his substance except the work of his hand. Smite to the loins of them that rise against him and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. Verse 12. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. Notice how it changes just from one to the other. Beloved of the Lord. Now remember, Benjamin was the most beloved of his father. But him and God share a mutual feeling. He's beloved by God and also beloved by his father. Now God has this prophetic name put on him, the beloved of the Lord. Now it doesn't say this about Levi, it doesn't say it about Judah. Isn't it amazing how that God can individualize us? And love each of us in special ways. Praise the Lord. Now, me coming from a big family, I know it must have been a very tough thing for mom and daddy trying to love us all, each of us Reagans with our own little oddities and the things that about us. But you know what? I raised up being the oldest of the family. I raised up in that family feeling that I was loved. I was loved. Yes, sir. I had the ability to go talk to my mama, more so my mama than my daddy, but talk to my mama about many different things. Did I feel like I was mama's favorite? No, but I felt like I was loved. You know, I'm not God's favorite preacher. I'm not even mine. I'm not God's favorite child. I know y'all, some of y'all think you are. I'm not God's favorite child. And to be honest with you, I don't have to be. I don't have to be God's pet or God's pick. But I know I'm loved by God. Now, some preachers can out preach me, out sing me, out shout me. Got a much bigger work God could do a lot more with them than he could ever do with me. And I'm not jealous of none of them because I have my spot in God's heart. Now, you imagine these were people, of course, that were not born again. So each one of these adjectives, you imagine as they were used now. And he said, well, how come he didn't call me beloved? Well, how come he said this? But look at God, how diverse it is that God can give this one this and give that one that and that one that. And yet he looks at him and loves him. Does he have certain feelings towards some that are stronger than others? Yes. When the Lord Jesus was on the earth, there was three particular men that he took with him almost everywhere he went. Is that true? Peter, James, and John. Is that right? Now, was it because they was nicer people? No, I don't think it was that. There was something about them. Whether it was the sovereignty of God and choice, whether they were more compatible with the human nature of Jesus. I guess that's one of the things we can ask him when we get there. But you imagine with them, the disciples, as carnal as they were, some of them really struggled with that. Well, where's Jesus? Well, he's gone. Well, where's John? Well, you should know that. If Jesus is gone, John's with him. If Jesus goes to the grocery store, John gets to go. If Jesus goes to Walmart, John and Peter and James, they always get to go. I have to stay here at the house. Is that true? No, he has to say, yeah, but when it comes to writing the word now, John was admitted by God or allowed by God to be able to write more in the New Testament than either James or the others. Yeah, they was both loved. James writes just a very few chapters. But yet there was something about it that God loved them. Now here he comes to this one and he says, Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. Now this is what Jacob said in Genesis 49:27. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. Or in other words, Benjamin is a ravening wolf. And wolves are known for their fierce and cruel attacking. Now, you don't need a guy like this preaching. I mean, every time you leave church, it looks like a slaughterhouse. Praise the Lord. You need a Levite. And I'm not saying the Levite can't have a little touch of Benjamin in him. Praise the Lord. So some of y'all are convinced right now I'm a Benjamite. Some of y'all been looking for years for something to disqualify me. Now you think you found it. I'm a Benjamite. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. Notice he says, in the morning he shall devour the prey. And at night he shall divide the spoil. So the warlike character. Watch in Judges 3:15. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. Now, this is very unusual in the Bible to be left-handed. Right-handed was much more common. A man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. Judges 20:15. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time of the cities 26,000 men that drew the sword beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which are numbered 700 chosen men. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Every one could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. Now, these are definitely boys you want on your side. Now, the Hebrew rendering of this is that actually they could throw stones at hares and not miss them. Most of us couldn't even see a hare. Especially if you're past 50. Can you imagine? Now, they're all left-handed. And they're so good that they could throw a stone with a sling at a hare and not miss. Now, look at the trait of being a Benjamite. Now, if you're a Benjamite, man, this is your hero. These left-handed stone-slinging guys are your heroes. But what if you're born a Benjamite and you can't hit the broadside of a barn? One eye kind of points this way and that eye kind of points that way and you wind up hitting the cow every time. And then when you don't hit the cow, you hit the horse. But yeah, you're a Benjamite and this is the prophecy that's over you. Oh, what if you don't like blood? But according to God, this is your prophecy. So guess what you got to do? You got to say, God, make me what your word says. You know, I get sick of my stomach every time I see blood, Lord, much less human blood. And Lord, I can't hit the broad side of a barn. But this is my prophecy. This is my word. Then you're going to have to change them. Come on, children. But many of us make it you. Well, that's the way I am. It's the way I am. It's the way I am. You think God's going to accept the way you are over His word? This is the prophecy that was given to them. They're going to go out like wolves. So guess what? You got to get up in the morning early and you got to go out there and you got to raven and you got to tear up and plunder and you got to do all that sort of thing and you got to bring it back to the house and sit down and eat it. It wasn't no more easier for some of them than it is for some of us to do what God's called us to do. My goodness. Sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. Now, these were the gunslingers of that day. Whew. I mean, you say, hello, sir. How are you, sir? And you never turn away from him without looking back. That old boy may be aiming at your head. But you imagine there were people born in that tribe that was not like that by nature? They had to pray, God, change me. God, help me. You understand, you fathers and you mothers, and every one of us has got a part about our position. Brother Donnie, I don't find it easy to be a house cleaner. I don't find it easy to lead my family in prayer. I'm the head of the home. I don't find it easy to do that sort of thing. Benjamin, get your sling. Pray that God will change you. Either that or you'll change God's word. And you throw your wife out of her position and try to make her the spiritual head of the home. Oh, my goodness. Let's stand. Everybody keep your rocks in your pockets, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 40. And the sons of Ulam were mighty men of valor and archers and had many sons and sons' sons and 150. All these are sons of Benjamin. 2 Chronicles 14, 8. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. This was their portion. But can you imagine living next door to these guys? They fought rough. They thought rough. They lived rough. Now, can you honestly imagine these guys being pansies? I can imagine what they'd do to one. Here we go with them rocks again. But each one of these tribes had their place. All of this made Israel. It's kind of like a church, isn't it? You got folks that's real loud. You got folks that's real quiet. You got folks that's real emotional. You got folks that sometimes I have to look at them twice to make sure they're not dead. But you know what? God knows how to make up a church, don't he? That's why I say, I want only hear who God wants. I ain't looking for a big crowd. I ain't looking for a lot of people. No, I want who God wants. That's who all that I want. Because if we go out and try to drum up people and try to steal people from other churches and all this, that, and other, we're going to have a mess. But let God send in your who He wants. Benjamin will sit over and sharpen his sword during church. And Levi's trying to calm him down. Praise the Lord. I mean, some, you mentioned something. Glory to God. They've done decapitated somebody. It was a wife. They don't wait. They don't do the man. They're just looking to draw blood. But each one of us helps the other. What a God of variety. What a God of variety. Now you imagine this is your word. And you look out to that. God, help me. Help me to become this. Help me to become this. Some, no doubt, were it naturally. That's the guys you have to worry about. People that can fulfill this word seemingly without a new birth, I'm more scared of them than I am the other ones. But the real bride, there's parts of the word you struggle with. Why? You got to be born of it. It's not your human nature that obeys it. You actually have to be born of it. Imagine the Spirit of God anointing you and taking you, and you was born a Benjamite. But you got sick of the sight of blood. You hated fighting. Oh my goodness. You just avoided everything in the world. But you go to pray and, God, make me what I'm supposed to be. God, help me. They all laugh at me, Lord, when I throw a rock. Hair breath, you got to be kidding me. But I'm going to become this tribe. I'm going to become part of this word. You understand, children? Bring it to your own day in your word of what we are. Praise God. Of course, out of this tribe come Saul and Jonathan, Mordecai, Paul. Praise God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful, really, that you didn't make us all exactly the same. Each of us, our makeups are different. Even with preachers, our visions are different, and our works are different. Our purpose in the body. You know how we are as humans. We tend to judge people by us, or at least our view of things. And if people don't take our view, then we tend to kind of back away from them. I think they're not very deep. Lord, how I love the way Brother Branham says it, that you made Andrew and he was a prayer warrior. Peter, a firebrand. Paul, more scholarly, a prophet. And yet, all three of them was yours, filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody couldn't be Levi. Everybody couldn't be Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh. But once they were called and placed positionally, it must have been amazing to watch them work together for those few years that everything went so good. It must have been amazing. Because what one tribe lacked, there was another tribe that made it up. Praise God. Oh Lord, if we could only find that in ourselves. If our people, our families, our loved ones, our church here, Lord, we could only purpose that in our own hearts. I'm not complete within myself. I need other brothers and sisters, other saints of God. We as an assembly, we need other ministries to come through. We need the input and the feeling and whatever more of different churches. One reason, Lord, that I like to be in contact with pastors from all over the world and just ask them what they're preaching and what they're dealing with. And have you ever dealt with this? And how have you handled that? And how did you deal with this and that and the other? I never want to get to a spot to where I think I'm the only one. That is foolishness and nonsense. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. Maybe there's a Benjamin here tonight that's born in that tribe. But yet, they can't hit a hair.
they're kind of squeamish when it comes to war. Maybe there's a Levite that's not where he's supposed to be. He's too concerned with this and that and the other, and pleasing mama and pleasing daddy, and what's so-and-so going to say if I say this, and what's so-and-so going to say if I do that. Lord, help us. Lord Jesus, I believe you called me before the foundation of the world, but yet my own human makeup is so contrary to my office. I've always been of the makeup that if I got a friend, I hated to lose one. To know that anybody's mad at me, it about breaks my heart. I can't hardly stand it. About drives me crazy. That's why I get took advantage of so many times, because I'll try to fix things over and over again and let people take advantage of me again and again and again. But yet, you call me Lord to sling a sword sometimes. Sometimes I've got to throw rocks, as it were. Sometimes I've got to teach judgment. Sometimes, Lord, I have to even say things to make people mad. That breaks my heart when I know I do. Because I know they won't grieve at my soul. They won't get mad at the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They'll always get mad at me. And me's the one who struggles with it. So I know that constantly we have to keep our lives in harmony with what you've called us to be. And it's like the call is always just a little bit higher and a little bit above and a little bit beyond the reach of the human makeup. And that you give us enough strength and enough courage and enough stamina and desire to keep us right there where we need to be. And it's not like that the supernatural part so supersedes the human part that it's just no race to it at all. But it's like it's always lingering there, just beneath the surface. But Lord God, we believe you will empower us as you empowered them to fulfill the word of our day. I wonder how many Benjamites were total victories within themselves, because they just wasn't that way. But they gained victory in their self before they gained victory over Amalekites. Help us to realize, Lord, that's the way it is with us tonight. Fighting devils, fighting cancer, fighting this, that, and the other. We're never going to have too many victories over devils until we get victory over us first. Help us, Lord Jesus. Praise God. How many would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? What's your word, friends? What's your word? Maybe it's a housewife. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's a factory worker or whatever more it is. Preacher, a deacon, a trustee. And yet there's parts about your job you don't like. Parts that you have to force yourself to do. So you'd rather just compromise and get around it and not have to do it. No, what we need to do, my brother, is just keep praying, God, change me. Change me. I don't want to change your word. You change me, Lord. That's the way you done Elijah's robe. The prophet said, you kept working on him, on Elisha. You didn't trim the robe to fit him. You trimmed the man to fit the robe. But Lord, that's what we want. We don't want the word cut back. We don't want compromise. Cut us back to where we'll fit the word, Lord. Would you like to be remembered tonight? Men, women, boys, girls, high school students, college, whoever you are, each of us, that we can be what our word is. Praise God, what our word is. We'll get to it, Lord willing, next week. When he said about Joseph in the book of Psalms, it said that until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Until his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. They put his feet in irons. They hurt him. They bruised him. Isn't it amazing? Until his word came. His word came. The word tried him. But once his word came, then the trying of the word was over. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Maybe that's where some of you are tonight. The word's trying you. What's it waiting for? Until your word arrives. Your personal word of deliverance.
until Joseph's personal word came, the word tried him. And when his personal word arrived, the trial ended for him. Praise God. Would you lay your hand on the person standing there by you or just take him by the hand? Let's just offer a word of prayer for that Benjamite, that Gadite, Ephraimite standing there by you. Your sisters, maybe it's a part of your duty as a housewife. You struggle with and you don't like. So you let it go. Brothers, maybe it's a portion of your work. Preachers, maybe it's a portion of yours. But let's just ask God to help us that we'll be able to be what our word says. You don't have to worry about being like the brother by you. If you're not that emotional, and you're saying, you know what, I'll never be like Brother Donnie, God may not want you to be. What you want to be is what God wants you to be, not be like me. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, as we have our hands laid upon fellow brother and sister Benjamites and Gadites and Danites and whatever more, Lord, we know that there's portions of your word, we don't struggle with at all. There's portions of your word that just seem like it's a whiz to fulfill. But there's other parts of your word, it's more difficult, Lord. It's more trying to our faith and just seem like we might struggle and try to get it to come to pass in our lives. But Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. Father, maybe there's a spiritual Benjamite here, Lord. There, as I said, they hate the sight of blood. They can't hit the side of a barn, as it were. Yet they're called to be spiritually left-handed. The end of their walk is to be a left-handed stone-throwing guy or sister that can hit a hair. Yet right now they might look at their own life and look at themselves and they're nothing but a laughing stock. Because they can't throw straight. They can't see straight. It depends on what they'll look at. They want to look at where they are right now and look at their crooked rock throwing. Or do they want to look at the word of prophecy? I'm part of Benjamin. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm part of Benjamin. I may not be Saul. I may not be Jonathan. I may not be Mordecai. I may not be Paul. But I am part of Benjamin. Lord Jesus, we're part of your elect. Part of the bride of Christ. Lord, there's only one major prophet of the age. And we know that. We don't desire to be that anyway. Lord, each of us just want to find our spot where we fit. Some of them may be doctors, some nurses, some lawyers, some farmers, painters. Lord, some recycling guys. Lord, others, computer techs, and all different types of things they'll be. But that's only the natural part. Lord, there's a spiritual part as well. Help each of us, Father God. We may be a little bit squeamish as it was about certain things about it, but may we keep our word right in front of us. Lord Jesus, until we and that word become one. Hallelujah. Help us tonight, Father. We don't believe you send your word in vain, but you send it there, Father God, that we can come into it. Grant it, I pray, Lord, and may we be like Joseph until our word comes. The word may try us, but we will become our word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Can we just worship him now just a little bit? I'm going to let you go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm so discouraged. Oh, I'm a Benjamite and I'm not this, I'm not that. No, look, friend, it's up to you. You want to be like Moses? You want to be like Aaron? You want to be like Phineas? Turn that thing around in your life? Or you want to let your circumstance and your events and your past track record and your failures, you want to let that rule you? It's entirely up to you. It don't mean God ordained you to be that way, but it's up to you. You will be able to have in God as much as your faith will be released to take your own personal property. Footprints will mean possession. And it's up to you. God has allocated what he wants you to have, but he will not make you get it. The prophet of God said, we have untapped resources in God that we've never even broke into. He uses them words several times, over and over again. Remember this children of Israel? It began with Joseph or Benjamin 1 when they come into the land, and the scripture said they did not drive out these inhabitants. And it was like a move among them. Then this other tribe, they didn't drive these out, and this other tribe didn't drive them out. They didn't drive them out. God allocated to them that land. But as they got closer and closer to the fullness of the land, they accepted compromise and said, well, I don't guess we have to have it really. I mean, we'll just make them slaves and servants. We'll let them get the water and, you know, cook our biscuits in the morning. But God said there'll be thorns in your side because you've chosen to do this. Friends, it's the same with us. We've got our land allocated by God. Boy, God wants you to be the kind of man or woman that when you get up of a morning, the devil goes to grabbing his head and said, oh Lord, not another day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on now. The prophet said a man or woman can live so close to God, the devil don't know what to do. Or you can barely survive. Just barely hang on from day to day. If that's what you want, that's up to you. But that's not what God wants for you. Praise God. Praise God. When Joseph come up to Joshua and they said, the land you give us too little. Too small. He said, well, if you need more land, go out there and get it. He said, over there's this certain country and they got them giants and all those over. If you need it, go get it. You know what they done? Went and got it. Now, why didn't prophecy give it to them? Why didn't he do Joshua go out there and run them out and allocate them? Because they had something to do themselves. Well, he said, they got iron chariots. They got this and that. He said, if you need the land, then go take it. I'm going to tell you one thing. Some of y'all need peace. It may not fall down out of heaven tonight, and you can come up for me to pray for you 5,000 times, and it don't mean that God will give it to you. It may be that God's waiting on you to walk right up, take your fist, hit the devil right in the mouth and say, I want my peace back. I want my joy back. You took it long enough. You've kept the harmony of my mind and my home. You're a liar. I'm claiming my ground back, devil. This belongs to me. I've got the title deed. Well, glory. I don't want to get started on that, do I? Hallelujah. You love him with all your heart. Isn't he wonderful to us, children? Oh, praise God. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, it must have been wonderful for them men to have that word. I hope you can understand it. God has said something about every one of you. God has said something about you. An allocation of word. I've been privileged by God to hear a few of the words that He said about me. Me and Carol got married on Sunday evening. We went to church that night. I've always been weird. I've always loved church. So we got married on Sunday evening and went to church on Sunday night. Didn't we, Carol? My uncle got up, called me and Carol to come up for prayer, laid hands on us, started speaking in tongues, prophesying, started saying things about ordained and predestinated. He didn't even believe in predestination. Ordained you two to be together. I called you before the foundation world. All this stuff got that, you know, my. That was part of my word. I'm still hearing part of my word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What about you? I'm finding out who I am. It's part of my word, my identity. Praise God. Amen. Sing something, Harry. Glad to have you back with us. Praise the Lord. Let's sing before we go. Amen.
We've not sung this before, but let's try this. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
Oh, yes.
For God I live. For God I die. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
Come on and help
oh,
us.
Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I live, for God I die. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
For God I live, for God I die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify.
Has it been good to you?
Somebody testify, raise your hand. Testify. Oh, for God I live. For God I die. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify.
Hallelujah.
Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I live. For God I die. Somebody ought to testify.
Oh, somebody ought to testify. Sing it now. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
Testify.
Oh, somebody ought to testify. For him I live. For him I will die. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
God
is right here. Somebody ought to testify. Just raise your hands and wave it as a wave offering. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows he's been good to you? He's been good to you. He's healed you when you were sick. He's delivered you when you were down. Saved you when you were lost. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. One massive testimony service right now. Everybody say these words after me. God has been good to me. He's my way maker. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my king. Oh, glory to God. I feel like shouting a little bit. Glory! To hear you say that, friend, it ought to ring out of our souls, not only when we're Hallelujah. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise His name.
Somebody ought to praise the Lord. For God I live. For God I die.
Somebody ought to praise His name. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I live, for God I will die. Somebody ought to testify.
I know this may seem weird, but I can't get it off my heart. The doctor told me this week that somebody must really want me here because my cholesterol, my bad cholesterol is 313 and my other is 372. But I'm going to testify that when I go back, it won't be there anymore. Amen. And I'm also going to testify for my entire family. If you're wayward, you're coming. I've held the token, and you're coming, so I've testified.
Glory. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm going to testify before it happens. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going to be a young man again. Glory, my body's going to be changed. My older brother's cells rearranged. Hallelujah. Oh my, don't you love being in church when it's like this? Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Coming after you and me, oh, what joy to share. What rejoicing that will be when the saints shall rise. Heading for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory. Savior in. God bless you, saints. Born of fear of God, see you this weekend. Heavenly host, we begin to sing. Singing in the Holy Ghost.
Praising Christ who rages on heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. When with all that heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be. Praising Christ who ages long in heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, When we meet our blessed Savior in the sky, oh, what singing!